Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago on a beautiful summer afternoon. I look to my right and I see the glorious countenance of the great one, Doug Tonis. How you doing, my friend?
I mean, glorious. My countenance was glorious.
Doug, I'm so glad you're here with me today. And I, you know what? I've had something that I've been wanting to talk to you about. I kind of brought it up before with you and Mark, but unfortunately, Mark screwed it up by not getting the whole recording correct. I'm a big fan of antiperspirant. I've been that way for a long time. You know, when I discovered it at a young age, it's important not to be the guy who smells in class. So I've been using it for a long time. Have you been aware of these wars that are going on between the various antiperspirant companies? Are you know what's going on right now?
I have no idea what's going on right now. Not with antiperspirants, not with you. I'm completely befuddled just laughing at where you're driving this thing.
What's your go-to AP?
I mean, I don't use antiperspirant. I use deodorant. Like, there's a difference between the two.
Are you serious? There's a major difference. Deodorant's going to leave those rings around your underarms that are not always attractive to
you. It's unhealthy for you.
Allegedly.
Like, that's not good.
Maybe you're right. Never really thought about that. I think I'd rather deal with the health consequences as opposed to the embarrassment of the soaking underarms. But I got to ask you,
my underarms aren't soaking. Anyway, I use Speed Stick deodorant. To answer your question.
There we go. Well, the APR, the war, antiperspirant wars, I used Dove Men Clean Comfort. I highly recommend it. It's 72-hour protection, right? So I actually write down when I spray it. So I know I got coverage for 72 hours and I don't, you know, get an hour 74, 75 and, you know, start looking around for my antiperspirant. What do you think about this new one that's over like 96 hours? Number one. And number two, isn't it dangerous? Like, when we're talking 96 hours, how do you even remember when you put it on? You know?
I have no idea where you're going with this. Like you're like the crazy psycho killer. You're like the crazy psycho killer from was it Something About Mary? Where Ben Stiller's like driving and the guy's like
7 hour abs.
What if someone makes 6 minute abs? And he's like all befuddled. It's like, you can't have antiperspirant for 96 minutes. That's crazy. 72 hours is like the most you can go. 96 hours. I find this battle
fascinating. And what is it like
it's like the razor battle, right? Like, they just keep adding blades. Like, you know, like exactly. A 10-bladed razor is the same thing. We just keep adding blades.
Exactly. I want to know when it gets to, like, 120 hours. I mean, then we're really, at that point, you got to wonder what's happening to your arms, you know? But anyow, I digress.
I'm thinking about it, Fred. You've made me put some thought into this. Scary enough. And I'm thinking what you really need, if I'm doing the math right, is 168-hour antiperspirant. Because that's 1 week. Now it's just a scheduled task, like every Sunday. Like, that's the magic number. You can get to 168 hours. Now it's like once a week, you're putting it on.
I think now we figured it out.
Week. Now if that's the... I mean, whoever hits the 1 week mark is the winner in the war.
Well, who gets the 1 month, though? What happens if they're just going to just try to top it?
I think 1 month is too... There's different amounts of days in the different months. Like, that becomes a little complicated. Like,
The 1 month product's an actual foam block that you put under your arms.
Spray-on foam.
Hey, this is the best Big Red Bus we've ever started out with. But that's where we're at with the NBA season, okay. My man. Let's get in some business here, man. There's a lot going on with the beloved Bull. I don't know if you heard the news. Grab your chair. We just signed... Who did we sign?
Terry Taylor.
Terry Taylor, the big double T. Oh, yeah, actually, I saw him play for Windy City. He was on Windy City. I knew I recognized him from somewhere. He actually played with the Bulls last year for a little bit. From what I recall, undersized, kind of power forward. He's got, pretty strong young kid. Kind of like, I'd say maybe a little bit bigger version. I don't know. Like, what's your opinion? Are you happy about it? What say you?
I think that we could have had Derek Jones Jr. for the same contract, and I much rather would have Derek Jones Jr. That's my opinion on that.
Are you serious? Is that true? Did Derek Jones Jr. sign with a team? I haven't heard yet. Who did he sign with?
Yeah, he did. He signed for the vet minimum.
With who?
And Terry. I want to say it was the Brooklyn Nets, but don't quote me on that. But I just said it on a podcast, so I guess I'm quoted on it. But either way, he signed a minimum contract with someone. And I believe Terry will have the same cap hit as Derek Jones Jr. would.
My goodness sakes, I cannot believe this is a fact. I mean, how old is Derek? Let me look here. He's 26 years old, Derek Jones Jr. I personally liked him a lot. Terry is
basically 24. Yeah, I like Derek Jones Jr. too.
That's kind of disturbing to me because, number one, he's taller and he's a better rim defender. I thought Derek Jones Jr. was our only kind of quasi-legitimate rim defender last year. He was the only guy who I ever felt good about when someone was attacking the lane that he'd at least contest a shot, you know, in some form or fashion. So, like, I liked him a lot, and just the fact that we could have had him back. Are you certain about this? Isn't it possible that this could have just been a move where Derek wanted to move on just because he didn't get that much?
Oh, I mean, it could be. I'm just saying their contracts were both vet minimum contracts. I think maybe Terry only counts as 2 years of service, maybe because part of his MBA was on a two-way. So his deal is 1.8. I think Derek Jones Jr.'s deal would have counted as $2 million against the cap, so $200,000 difference. But it wouldn't have made a difference. Like, they could have had, contractually, it wouldn't have made a difference. Now, whether or not Derek Jones Jr. just wanted to move on and didn't think we'd pay him or didn't like the roster or whatever, didn't think he'd have opportunity, those are all possible factors that may have gone into this. Like, it may have been the case that we didn't really have an opportunity. So, that's just kind of my off-the-cuff thinking, though, as he replaces Derek Jones Jr. It's similar in some ways, too, right? Like, an undersized power forward that can't shoot. I don't know.
Yeah, but a better athlete than rather. Terry. He's a way better athlete than Terry.
No, I meant Terry replaces Derek Jones Jr. as an undersized power forward that can't shoot.
Yeah, exactly. I think from what I saw...
With the bonus of being less athletic and, not being the rim defender.
He's actually less athletic and a worse shooter, so, out of the two. Because I think Derek Jones Jr. at least was a quasi-threat from three. I don't think Terry could hit the three.
It's a one-year deal, so there's also no upside on it. It's not like, you know, you take a guy like Julian Phillips, and he's here for 4 years, and you're like, all right, well, he'll develop maybe, and if he develops, you'll get the value of him developing. You know, Taylor's going to be gone next year anyway. Like, you know, so it's really just what you're going to get out of him this year is not really a prospect that you're going to have significant rights on. I'm not sure how that works because I think he was under a two-way with the Bulls last year and probably the Pacers the year before. And so he was in the NBA. So maybe that means he still is restricted for 3 years and those first 2 years don't count towards that. I don't know how restricted free agency works with two-way guys. I know generally, you know, you're restricted automatically within your first 3 years. But if you're a two-way guy, I don't know if that counts as towards those years or not. I'll have to look that up. Anyway, either way, like I don't care. Like it's the last roster spot. You know, the one thing I'll say is you feel really good about the Bulls' top 10 guys, I think. And then you're losing a spot with Lonzo. They're almost certainly going to run with 14 because I think Terry puts them into the luxury tax and they'll cut Karlik Jones to get out of it before the season starts. And so
that's
you're
going
to run with 14 guys and then one of those guys is Lonzo, who's not going to play. So you're really running with 13 guys. And then three of those guys, you know, Terry Taylor, Dalen Terry, and Julian Phillips. I mean, like, I don't think you can count on it all to contribute. And so I think that puts you in a little bit of a, I won't say like a rough spot, but like you don't have a whole lot of resilience towards injury when you basically have 10 NBA players on your team.
Oh, no doubt. What are you going to do? I mean, neither of us are, you know, worshiping at the altar of the great recruiter. But my goodness, if he gets hurt, what are your options at the center position?
Yeah, you know, he's really a single point of failure. I mean, like, you could use Drummond, obviously, you know, and I think Drummond could probably play 28 minutes a game. But then your backup center is who? Like, Justin Lewis? Pat Williams? Torrey Craig?
No, I actually think it'd be the rookie, Sanogu or whatever.
Sanogu?
The two we do. Yeah.
You're a two-way guy?
Yeah,
maybe Julian Phillips. I mean, yeah. But like those 6'9", are all like really
190. Yeah,
those are all really bad options, right? Those are all really bad options. You know, like it. You know, like just a few guys who probably don't belong in the NBA and are also undersized, or guys who maybe belong in the NBA but are like min salary players and are undersized. Like it's not a good set of options. So yeah, Vooch is really a pretty critical point on this team, and he's historically been pretty healthy. But like last year, he played 82 games. Like his average in his career is still to miss about 10 games, which I mean I think is pretty normal. Like that, I'm not saying that's injury prone or anything, but you should count on him missing at least 10 games. Like, you know, and same with really kind of any starter, you should assume a typical NBA player is going to miss around 10 to 12 games. So Doug, the Bulls don't really have a lot to deal with that.
Doug, it doesn't matter. I mean, DeMar DeRozan, again, very healthy throughout his career, not an injury-prone player. It doesn't matter. When you get into your mid-30s, I don't care what your history is. Look at LeBron James. He started missing games because age catches up to us all. And if you're in your mid-30s, late-30s, you're just going to start missing games. It's going to happen. It happened to Jordan when he was in Washington. It happened to LeBron. And it's going to happen to DeRozan and Vucevic if they keep on playing in this league into their late-30s. They're just not going to be playing.
Well, I mean, they're not in their late-30s yet, right? But they're also mid-30s. Not Jordan and LeBron. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll just say it's like an increasing risk, right? Like, we don't know how much it's increased. But it's an increasing risk year over year. It gets a little bit higher every year. And there's a flukiness to injuries every year, too. And the other thing, too, is that maybe you don't think about is as you age, if you do get hurt, you recover slower, right? So your time to come back from an injury and bounce back is a little higher. So, like, you know, maybe you still only have, like, an X percentage chance of getting hurt. But when you do get hurt, you're going to miss 10% more games than you would otherwise, you know, or something like that, you know, or take, you know, 10-15% longer to get back into like really ready to go mode. So if you miss like, you know, 3 or 4 games and then you play kind of like under your best for 3 or 4, now you're missing 4 or 5 games and playing under your best for 4 or 5, you know, like stuff like that. So it adds up, you know, like it does, it's not the end of the world. You know, those guys might have really healthy seasons. You know, I've said before on our show and in my own, like, one of the big risks with the Bulls is they were extraordinarily healthy last year, and it feels almost like we were just banking on that. Like we forgot that injuries might happen, and we're prepared to start the season with basically 10 NBA players. And I agree. Think that was a mistake that didn't have to happen, but it did. That's where we are.
I agree. I agree. All great points. The team was remarkably healthy outside Alonzo, obviously, last year, and to bank on that again is mistaken. However, the team is pretty deep at several positions. Like, you can sustain an injury to a guard. You have enough good guards on the team with Caruso and Io and Carter and Kobe and Zach. But I would highlight, like, I think I had a tweet last week that was somewhat controversial that the more I've studied this team, and the more I'm just looking at the East in general, you know, the Heat, I think, are significantly worse. The Sixers are a tire fire right now, and by any stretch of the imagination, I can't imagine them being where they were last year in Boston now. They're not better. A lot of these teams have kind of come back to the pack. I'm not saying the Bulls are better than those teams. It's absolutely not true, but you'll find a few more wins. And I think in a scenario where you get health again, I think the Bulls could win like 47, 50 games. We kind of talked about this on the last show, and I highlighted the three. Go ahead. Do you want to say something?
I think that's true. In the best case outcome where they stay healthy, I think their margin moves made them a better team when healthy than last year's team when healthy. So if they stay really healthy, they could win 47 to 50 games, I think. And they could get up to like the 5th seed, maybe even a 4th seed. The problem is, like, I think they just have so little resilience. And, you know, like, okay, maybe you don't lose Vooch, which would be your worst case scenario, but boy, would it surprise you if you lost Caruso for 20 games? I mean, you expect to lose Caruso for 20 games, right? And you only got 10 players, so now you're down to a 9-man rotation. Then you lose one other guy over that same time overlapping, and all of a sudden, you're, like, really tight. So I just think that's a problem. Like, one of the things I think about is, if say you had just played hardball with Vooch and hardball with Io, I think you would have saved a total of like $7 to $8 million. Okay. And then say you still have your mid-level exception, half of it left, like $6 million. Say you just save $6 million between those two. And you use that $6 million to sign like Kelly Oubre or something. Or Christian Wood. Like, I feel like you would have like so much more resilience towards injury to have like another legit guy who could soak up a bunch of minutes. And there's probably other options. Those are two that are free agents right now today, which is why I say you could have got one of those guys for that amount of money. You might have been able to get one of them for the minimum before all is said and done. You know, like I just feel like that would have given you like a much better option than having what you have. Like even if you just saved $2 million or $2.5 million and you had the ability to use the 15th roster spot, which we're probably not going to use now because we'll be in the tax if we do, I think. You know, I think that would even just be significant just to bring in, like, hell, you might be able to get Uber at the minimum or something, you know, and that would be like a tremendous boost to your resiliency towards injuries.
But it's not to be. Agreed. So, like, I think, well, I kind of highlighted the three must-haves this year for the Bulls to take that jump to 50 wins. I'd like your opinion on them. I highlighted them on Twitter. I don't know if you read these, but number one, I'll read it, and then I'd like your comments. Zach LaVine. Zach took a jump after the All-Star break last year when most casual fans had already checked out. He averaged 27 points, 4.7 assists per game, 3.5 rebounds per game on 53, 39, 87 shooting metrics over the final 22 games. These are elite numbers. If the healthy trend continues, greatness will ensue. What say you?
Sure. It's kind of like, how likely do you think those numbers are to continue?
53, 39, 87.
If he is able to continue them, I mean, those are like really stud type numbers.
Yes, they are. So, yeah, 27, 4, 3, 53, 39, 87. It doesn't get any better than that, Doug. I mean, there's like seven guys in a league that are averaging more than 27 points per game.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't get much better. That's for sure.
So, you know, I heard Casey Johnson to kind of highlight this point, which I kind of agree with, is he was playing really well to begin the season when Lonzo was here, and then he got hurt. You remember he finished that year playing hurt on a knee? You know, obviously Lonzo and Caruso went out. And then he had the surgery in the offseason. And then last year he started out, I wouldn't say, slow or terrible, but it wasn't at the level where he finished it. And, you know, so I guess that's a bit, that's one, number one. I think you're in agreement. If they're going to hit 50 wins, he's got to continue on that type of trajectory, or at least close to it.
Yeah. If he plays like a superstar, it's a huge, huge boost. That is for sure. And he played like one at the end of the
game. Okay. Number two, Coby White. Like Zach, Kobe's game improved substantially down the stretch over the final 23 games. His shooting metrics were 49, 41.3 from three, and 100% from the free throw line. Yes, it's 100%. He didn't miss a free throw from February on. Not that he was there in a large, you know, with a lot of attempts, but still an impressive stat. 4.5 assists per game in only 25 minutes per game. That's one thing I'd like to highlight, is assists were up significantly, and I thought he played really well. He's only 23, and he's getting better. I predict a fantastic breakout year. What say you?
I don't predict a breakout year for him. I don't predict much improvement at all, to be honest. But, yeah, I don't think Kobe – I don't want to say he's unimportant. Like, if he plays really well, that's obviously a big boost. But I don't think he's nearly as critical as Zach is.
No doubt. Yeah,
maybe true. Put it that way.
The third reason
I think they could have a really good season without Kobe having a breakout year. I don't think they can have a really great season without Zach having – a continued really high level of play, like all-star, like legit all-star, top 15, 20 type player in league caliber of offense. Like if he's not a top 15 to 20 offensive player, I don't think the Bulls will have a great year. I think they can still have a great year without Kobe doing anything.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'd agree with that too. I think the Bulls, if he performs like he was at the end of last year, the Bulls can win 47, 48, 49 games and Kobe doesn't have a breakout year. I think that can happen just because of Zach, just becoming a superstar to that level, a top 15 player.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the third point was I had it was a perimeter defensive upgrade. It's imperative for the Bulls to be stellar on the perimeter defensively due to massive rim protection issues. Caruso is elite. P. Will is good and improving. And Carter Craig are upgrades over turnstiles like Goran Dragic. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing. There's a lot of things we've talked about before about how the Bulls – basically like hedge their bets in a lot of like weird ways defensively, always getting back on the glass rather than attacking offensive rebounds, never giving up stuff in transition. Things I did basically to make up for the fact that they just didn't have great defenders. And, you know, if these guys play well, then I think that's going to be a really big difference in terms of, you know, the optionality they can show and what they can do on offense. It'll allow them to play in a way that does not detract from the offense to make the defense like tenable. And I think that's going to be a pretty big impact.
Cool. Now let's go to one of my favorite segments that we haven't done in a long, long time.
Is it about an antiperspirant?
Is it about what?
Antiperspirant. No,
that's over for this show. Okay. Although you might want to throw some on after you get this next segment, because it's going to test your knowledge, DT. And no one knows more about the Bulls.
Is this going to be who we pick at the Lifetime Fitness?
No, that's one of my favorites, but not this one. I don't know if I've ever played this with you. But it's called Name That Bull Salary. And I'm going to trust your ethics that you're not going to look these up. Tell me.
Okay, I will not look these up.
Tell me.
I think I know probably all the Bull salaries off the top of my head.
This year's salaries, number one. Who's number one on the team and how much does he make?
Oh, well, it's Zach LaVine. Is it okay if I ballpark him?
Yes, ballpark.
It's like roughly 40
million. Just over 40. 40,064,220. Who's number two?
DeMar DeRozan is number two. I want to say it's like 28.7
million. Very good. 28.6. Very good. Who's number three?
Number three would be, I think it's a tie with Vooch and Lonzo both making 20.
Lonzo is making 20.4 million. He is a clear number three. 20.4 million for Lonzo Ball.
Versus Vooch at 20 flat.
No, Vooch this year is making 18.5 million.
Oh yeah, they escalated.
Correct.
It.
Correct. Yeah. To give a little bit more room to do some things this year. I mean, 18.5 million is a fine salary for Vooch, by the way, for this year. You know, the only issue I had with that contract was thrown in the third year. You know, that's the issue I had with it.
Well, that's a pretty big deal, like for Vooch, right? I mean, that's what makes the contract so good.
Yeah, but. That's true, but I think just on 18.5 million, I think that's what he's probably worth. Like, I don't think that's an egregious problem.
I think he's worth a lot. I don't think anyone would have gone above the mid level.
Yeah, you're probably right.
If you didn't sign him, so but whatever. Anyway,
I'm not going to lose sleep on it. Number five on the Bulls.
Okay, so we had Lonzo and then Vooch. So now we are in the. It'd be Coby White at 11 in change plus 1.3 million in incentives.
That's correct. His base salary. Are you ready for this? 11,111,111 All ones.
All ones.
Eight ones.
Number ones.
11 million in change. Pat. Oh, darn it! I already told you.
Pat Williams and Alex Caruso are both right neck and neck around like
Patrick
9 million.
Patrick Williams makes more than Alex Caruso next year. Alex Caruso has got one of the best contracts in the league, man. That is one deal. He does.
It's pretty spectacular.
Tip the hat, too. And you remember how bummed out we were when we were like, what? They paid that much for Alex Caruso? Yeah. He's worth every penny. What a great deal that was. So
what a bunch of idiots we are. And then I'll fully say, like, I was kind of like, whatever about Alex Caruso. Like, you know, I didn't really watch him a whole lot, but yeah, okay. Alex Caruso was worth it.
In defense of Acme, that's a pretty darn good signing that I don't think they get enough pats on the back for. That was a really good deal. So Caruso was seven.
You know what I'll say about Acme and their signings?
Sure.
If you look at all the guys they sign out of free agency, they're all like pretty good deals. Where they screw up is when they like just get attached to their own guys.
Or do a sign and trade.
You know, like Javon Carter was, a good deal. I think Torrey Craig was a good deal. Alex Caruso was a good deal. Even getting like Andre Drummond and Derek Jones Jr. on their deals, I thought those were both good deals. I don't really have much complaints about them.
The contract signings.
With the guys that they sign outside. It's really only the guys that they bring in that
it,
are like,
it was
on
the
Vooch
trade. Yeah,
like just, their own just the guys. Assets. Like they have their own guys that they.
Well, yeah, the Vooch trade just giving up all the assets that, and not only that, taking on Aminu's contract, which took up $10 million in cap space and kept you from doing some other cool moves. So, let's not get into that right now. You're right though; that's a good point. I haven't really thought about that
sure, because,
and look at Javon Carter, right? Javon Carter is actually number 9 on this team in salary. Can you guess number 8?
Let me see.
So we got LaVine, DeRozan, Ball, Vucevic, Kobe White, Patrick Williams, Alex Caruso. Who's number 8 and who's number...
Alex Caruso. Oh,
Io's 8 and Javon is 9. And then it goes down to Drummond, Dalen Terry. Dalen Terry makes $3.3 million. Torrey Craig makes $2.5
million. Well, it's just rookie scale. I mean, like, what do you even care at this point? They're all
exactly. And the last one is Julian Phillips making $1.6 million. Anyhow, I like that game. It opens up my eyes on some things. And you did very well, Doug. I got to hand it to you. You did better than anyone else, I'm sure.
God, I would hope I would do well, given that I'm the theoretical cap guru. Exactly. Two of us. I look at the Bulls like cap numbers like constantly, so and so I said like I would be really disappointed in myself if I did not do well at this game. This is a game.
Well, we're already at almost like 30 minutes, so I do want to get into a topic that I've been dying to talk about, which is this current Harden situation.
All right,
James Harden. James Harden has demanded a trade, called Morey a liar. Love to get your 411 on this entire situation and get your opinion on what you think the ramifications are.
Can I recommend a name for this segment?
Sure. I can only imagine what it is, but go ahead. What?
This is our weekly segment where you argue with Mark about something on Twitter. And then you bring it onto the podcast to see if I agree with you.
Did you see his stupid comment about? Oh, you were there hearing what was promised.
But you always have these debates about like with Mark about like non-Bulls things. You're like, let's talk about it, which is fine. It's interesting because it's new, but it's like you always have these little things. Like there should be a segment of like fights with Mark
that I bring to the show and act like
that I get to adjudicate.
He doesn't exist.
And I mean, I don't. I don't side with you all the time, right? Like I give my opinion. So sometimes I side with Mark. So fair enough.
Yeah, when you're wrong.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah. When I'm wrong. Well, in this case, I'm not wrong in your eyes because I totally agree with you. Which is, I mean, clearly Daryl Morey like insinuated some type of contract for Harden, which was illegal, and he backed out of it and didn't give it to him. And James Harden's pissed about it. Right. Like, I mean, that's really the gist of what we're talking about. And, you know, Harden says he's not going to come back, but he's going to come back because if he doesn't come back, then he's not a free agent next year. So clearly he's going to come back. He's just going to come back and he's going to James Harden it and just be like, oh, you want me to show up? I can show up and I can make sure I break no rules. I will break no rules, but I will also make it painfully clear that you sure as shit don't want me here because I will tank the fuck out of your season. You're going to see passes bounce off my fucking head because I play so badly like he did in Houston. And, you know, then they'll eventually just send him away, and that'll be what it is.
All right, so here's where I think the situation's a little different. First of all, if there's any proof that Morey got Harden to take a...
There's well, not.
First of all, how do you know that?
There's not. They already investigated it.
They did. Doug, hold on a second. Let me explain.
Did.
They investigated the signing of PJ Tucker. They did not look in that investigation.
Yeah, and they investigated. They did.
No, they didn't. They didn't look at the texts or communications between Harden, who was completely not relevant in that situation, in that signing, other than that they're close friends. They didn't look into texts between Harden.
My understanding is that they looked at the texts of the Philadelphia 76ers organization and that they were checking to see if Harden had...
Well, let me tell you, things are going to be very different now that if Harden comes out and says, yes, he lied to me, he promised he would give me a long-term contract if I took a $10 million decrease, and then you start getting his agent involved and getting other people to confirm details from Harden.
All right, so Harden's going to be what? Say like, hey, I'm culpable in signing...
He did nothing wrong. Harden's not going to get suspended.
Well, he did.
It's not his job to run the salary cap for a team.
Well, they when the same thing happened
Minnesota.
Was it Joe Smith? And they got Joe Smith. They voided Joe Smith's deal. Like so, yeah, they'd still potentially.
Yeah, but he's not going to get suspended
for Harden. They could.
You think
void,
he's going to be bummed about
no,
that?
No, but they could void his 36. They could void his $36 million deal. I think he'd be bummed if he gave up.
Possibly, but he'll go on.
No one would sign him. No one would sign him for that now.
Of course, they can't because that's why it won't happen. Because that was a rookie contract. This is a different deal where
It wasn't a rookie contract. Joe Smith was a free agent.
You're right. I can't remember what, but he was much younger. He was much younger than what Harden is now. That will not be the ramifications.
It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is Harden can't go. It's like if you steal money from the mob and then the mob, you're like, I stole this money from, and the mob judges would be like, they stole our illegal money. Like
Doug, the Harden NBA is not going to come out of it. With Daryl Morey.
Nothing's going to come out of it.
You're totally wrong.
I'll bet you a fucking $1 million.
Let's do it. Something serious is going to come out of this right now.
$1 million.
I'm not going to bet $1 million. I'm not betting $1 million, but let's bet a dinner.
1 million yen. That's like probably a dinner.
Yeah, exactly. let me tell you right now.
I don't know.
This is massive. I don't know. You're so underselling this, Doug. It's unbelievable because I'm telling you right now. First of all, number one.
Okay, let me rephrase.
Do you think the league offices are big fans of Daryl Morey? Do I have to remind you about what he cost them with the comments on Taiwan and China and all that happened after that? Do you think the league was happy about that in their offices and how much money potentially cost them? The answer is no. Daryl Morey is going, if he did something wrong, and I think you and I both agree he did something seriously wrong, this is a serious issue. This isn't calling a guy to sign him a day before he was going to sign with the team. This is P.J. Tucker. There were several teams that wanted his services because P.J. Tucker is a darn good basketball player who makes a difference on contending teams. And he got a guy in Harden to take $10 million less to sign his friend? Come on. Come on. This is serious ramification. There will be serious ramifications for this of circumventing the cap. And it's total BS, and this guy should get hammered. He should be suspended for 5 years for this. If it comes out that he promised something under the table, I'm telling you right now. Do you disagree?
Yes.
Why?
Well, let me rephrase. I agree with you that if there is proof, and if he promised him something under the table, that there should be consequences and they should be severe. And what I'm telling you is there will be no proof, and as such, there will be no consequences.
Well, what happens if Harden's willing to testify under oath of what was promised to him, and it's that an under the table agreement,
he said, she said, like it's.
No, I think
matter.
There'll be ramifications.
That's not going to be proof. That will not count as proof.
We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. But I can't wait to win this one.
You are definitely wrong.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm wrong. But regardless, this guy is already had an issue last year. What did they lose the draft pick for? It was the P.J. Tucker discussion.
No, it was they lost it for talking to P.J.
Yeah,
Tucker.
Yeah, there you go. This guy is so full of it, and all his stands like Mark out there, what I call the what's the word I came up with them? I had a really brilliant comment about it, and I just forgot what I called them, but it was like the processors. Is it the processors? I think that was it. I came up with that term, the processors. All these guys that think they figured out the game, that they know much more than everybody else. Pound sand, dudes. You haven't figured out the game. And what has he won? He's won nothing. He's won absolutely nothing. So he can jump out a window. He also cost us Osick. You remember that? Remember we had Omer Osick?
Okay.
Are you losing? You still losing sleep on that one? Anyhow,
I mean, it ended up being a terrible deal because he had like some kind of autoimmune disease or something, and then couldn't play. Like we weren't ultimately hurt any by not having Omer Sheik. Well, I guess we'll just leave it at that.
Well, no, he had a couple good years after he left us. He wasn't bad. Is that what your implication is?
Huh?
I mean.
My implication is he was definitely bad after leaving us, yes.
All right. Well, I think you're wrong.
Like, on that three-year deal, I think, like, he couldn't play for, like, is either one or two of those years.
Maybe right. All right. So, one thing I want to go, though, on Harden. Okay, so a lot of people are yelling out, Harden's 33. I think he's 34 by the end of next season. Or might be by the beginning of the season. Harden had a fantastic year last year. Like, people, that's one thing in all this discussion, Harden's a bum, Harden, all this stuff, like, I've always admired him as a offensive basketball player. The guy's awesome. He's a great passer. I think he might have led the league in assists. He had like 10 assists last year, Doug.
Yes, he did lead the league in assists.
He shot 38% from three. Guy gets to the line. When he gets to the line, he doesn't miss. 21 points per game. He was killer in the pick and roll with Embiid. 38.5 from the field. I'm looking at just some stats right now. I just pulled it up. Yeah, right. 10.7 assists. One of his best in – he shot the ball at 53% last year. One of higher than his career average. It's not like this guy is still bad. Like, he's a very, very good basketball player. And if I was a team that was contending, like, let's say the Clippers, I would risk make a trade and bring him in for one season because I think you're going to get a motivated James Harden. But you disagree?
If I was the Clippers? I mean, it kind of depends. Like, I wouldn't say, like, oh, wow, you can't bring in James Harden. In that sense, what I would say is, what do you have to give up to get him? You know, if you're the Clippers, just matching salaries is probably a little complicated. And I think, like, the Clippers would take him if they could just get him for basically free. Or Paul George.
Get him for Paul George.
I think I'd probably.
How about Kawhi Leonard?
Over James Harden. I would probably. It's interesting. I would trust Kawhi Leonard so much more if he could stay healthy, but boy, is that such a poor risk.
It's such a mess every which way you look, right? I mean, like, at least Harden is going to play more, you know, I think, in general. Like, he'll show up, and he's not going to miss so many games. Listen, no one loves Kawhi more than I do, but this has become a joke. You know, I mean, like how much he misses and whether or not he's going to be healthy enough to play. I guess my
it's hard to argue with that. Like, I'm not arguing that Kawhi Leonard is. If you're the Clippers, you're in this like weird state of like you more or less have to bank on Kawhi and Paul George both staying healthy, and they both have struggled with that because like what are your other options?
Well, the other option is
your other options are
trade one of those two guys for.
Be bad.
The other option is you trade one of those two guys for James Harden. That's your other option.
Yeah, I think that's a lower. I think Harden is a lot worse than those guys, though. And so it's like a much lower ceiling move.
Not on the offensive end. I mean, he's definitely worse than Kawhi offensively, but he's going to play a lot more than Kawhi. And he's probably, I think, still better on the offensive end than Paul George. Just my opinion. Not defensively. But I guess what I wanted to kind of come around to was. If you're a team like the Bulls, again, I'm not advocating this. For one season, would you say that James Harden's going to be who would you rather have for next year? James Harden, assuming he's motivated and he wants to play for a long-term deal, or Zach LaVine?
Zach.
So would I. But you could make an argument. Could you at least see an argument for one season? For one season, if you're not a Zach LaVine fan, if you feel he's going to get hurt, if you feel that he's not.
If I live in fantasy land like you, and I assume that James Harden is going to be super motivated and wants to be here, then sure, I could make an argument for James Harden. But that's not true. He's not going to be super motivated. He's going to be super pissy. He's demanded out of his last three teams. He doesn't want to come to Chicago. He's going to be a train wreck. James Harden is an absolute train wreck. You do not want any part of James Harden on this team.
I and do not advocate us getting James Harden, but I will counter and say he's not a train wreck. Wherever he goes to next year,
he's a train wreck.
He will be one of the best players.
Everywhere he goes is a fucking disaster.
Wherever he goes, he'll be one of the best.
He fucks up every team he goes. That's what he's done. The last three teams he's been on, he's like fucked up and destroyed.
What are we talking about? What are Houston Rockets gone to the Western Conference Finals like every year?
No, at the end, in the last three years, when he decided he wanted out of Houston, that what team was screwed up. Then he went to Brooklyn. That was all screwed up. Then he went to Philly. Now that's all screwed up. James Harden is not a guy you want to tie your ship to or whatever at this
point. He's had considerably more, as much as he gets hammered for it, considerably more playoff success than most of the team players on this current Bulls team. He's a very good player.
Yeah, sure.
I that's the one part I think people
look,
go
if James
over
Harden was 27, if James Harden was 27, it would be a different conversation. But he's not. He's older. And like I said, it's just a pattern now of him. Like if I had to guess, I'd say he desperately wants to win a title.
Yes, he does.
He's got some weird thing about whatever his moral stuff going on of like, I think he's just pissed at Maury for whatever is going on.
Is this a serious question? No, of course he's pissed at him.
Tanking.
Well, hold on a second, Doug. Don't undersell this. If you were in his shoes, you would be furious. Absolutely furious that you took $10 million less.
If I was in his shoes, I wouldn't be a complete idiot.
All right, to start with.
But anyway, look, I agree, James Harden is right to be annoyed that Daryl Morey backed out on his illegal promise.
There you go, though. That's all I'm saying. Yes, that's why he's upset.
I agree with you there. He's upset, but like he was also upset at his end of Houston when he wanted out. He was also upset at Brooklyn when he wanted out. So it was like three teams in what, like 3 years?
Okay. All right, fine. Like, I'm just saying.
I just don't want any part of him if he doesn't want to be here. If James Harden was like, hey, desperately get me to Chicago, and Philly was willing to just send him here for like Lonzo Ball and I don't know what else you could even use to match salaries. Here's a game I put on Twitter. I don't know if you saw my great tweet. I know you talk about your great tweets. What trade would you make for James Harden that is legal under the salary cap? Ignore whether Philly would say yes or not. Yeah, except that Philly's not going to send
Kyrie Irving.
Like, oh, James
Kyrie
Harden.
Kyrie Irving for James Harden.
Whatever.
Kyrie Irving for James Harden.
No. For the Bulls. You're the Bulls. What would you send to get James Harden here?
If I didn't believe in Zach LaVine and I didn't believe he could stay healthy.
No. I'm just saying, what would you send? Not if you didn't do this or if some other thing. What would you do to bring James Harden?
Oh, absolutely.
With your actual beliefs.
I would absolutely trade.
In the actual situation.
Anybody outside of DeMar and Zach, if my goal is to win games next season, I would trade anybody outside of Zach and DeMar for James Harden and have him play the point guard position. Absolutely, I would. And that includes Vooch, anybody else on the team. Yes.
Yeah, and it basically then, so would you trade Vooch, Pat Williams, and Alex Crusoe for James Harden?
I'd really like to keep Caruso, but I probably would, at the end of the day, make that trade because either team, your window is 2-3 years. I think Harden brings you closer to a title at the point guard position, surrounded by Zach and DeMar, than Vooch and Patrick Williams. I'm not as high on Patrick Williams as most people. I think he'll be a fine role player, but he's not anywhere near in the class of James Harden. I think Harden's going to have a great year. I think he's going to be pissed about what has happened here, and I think he's going to play for a contract. So this year I think will be good, and then I don't want any part of him after that.
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
It's kind of
Are you going to argue? Hold on one second. One really quick question. This year, do you think Harden or Patrick Williams is going to have a better season?
I don't know. That's an interesting question because it really depends. If Harden is in Philadelphia, I think Pat Williams will have a better season.
Yeah, if he's still in Philly, it's not going to be
pretty. If Harden gets somewhere, I mean, I think Harden is a better player than Pat Williams if he's putting
out.
Okay,
thank goodness you can admit that. I've asked that question before, and people, argue like, yes, Patrick Williams is a better defender.
The one thing I'll say is, Did you see Harden when he made that Daryl Morey's a liar video?
He looked a little chunky. Did he not?
Like his BMI might be above 30 right now. Like I just went to the doctor and the doctor's like, your BMI told me my BMI was like pushing 30. Like I need to start being careful. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I've struggled since I had this like surgery and blah, blah, blah. Harden might be in that same boat. I'm like, this guy he looks like Khalid Al-Amin out there, like.
So I'll just throw it out there.
Not a very svelte looking individual.
Backcourt of Harden, DeRozan, and not a backcourt. He'd be in the front court. DeRozan at small forward, Zach LaVine, the big three of Harden, Zach LaVine, and DeRozan. First of all, that's pretty freaking exciting offensively. I got to tell you, I'd be watching every one of those games. But that said, how many wins?
I don't know. Do we? If we do the trade I made up of Pat, Vooch, and Caruso, I'd say like, I don't know, 42, 43 wins.
You just end up in the same place. Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you lose so much depth, and we talked about earlier how you just don't have depth and you have no other way to get it back. Right? Like we're not really positioned where we can do a 3-for-1 and have it work out really well for
I
us
just,
easily.
One thing you I know, find very irritating, and you mentioned our mutual friend Mark K from Australia, how he's clutching his pearls, calling Harden a quitter, he quit on his team, and yet this is the same guy who's defending Jimmy Butler and his actions in Minnesota, calling him a hero. Like, I think both actions are equally reprehensible. Like, Harden wanted out of Houston, Chris Paul sucked. Like, that situation wasn't as great as everybody makes it out to be. Like, if you look at the talent around him at that time, it wasn't fantastic talent. He just wanted to win. He goes to Brooklyn, and Kyrie is acting. I mean, that was the whole COVID situation, and Kyrie is, you know, not showing up, and it was a complete mess. And then he goes to the 76ers. Now, this is a little bit more complicated here, but I completely understand why he's upset now. Like, I'm totally on board with this is a legitimate reason to be angry. But, oh, you know, what Jimmy did in Minnesota is completely fine. It's the same thing to me. It's just as bad, just as reprehensible, just as egregious. Come on. Call it like it is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the difference is only that Jimmy's thing was whenever. I mean, and you could say, it. Yeah, I agree with you. Jimmy's actions at that time were just as bad. And there's really no case to make otherwise.
Yep.
I mean, I don't care about it. You know, like, maybe a good way to look at it is people are human, and in one set of circumstances, they'll behave one way. And in a different set of circumstances, they'll behave a different way. And, you know, there's probably a set of circumstances where James Harden will do all the things you want him to do. And, you know, that set of circumstances is probably a lot more narrow than it was when he was 27.
And he didn't want to leave Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City couldn't pay him. That's one. People always throw that out there. He didn't leave Oklahoma City. He was traded.
I mean, like, all the negative stuff with Harden is two things. From what I've heard, and I don't know whatever one random person yelled at you on Twitter about it, but the negative things about Harden are two things. One is, like, what I talked about over the last few years, how he's just been a problem, like, on every team he's been on. And I agree with your counter-argument that there's been some extenuating circumstances. Like, when they traded Paul for Westbrook, and then that was just an absolute disaster. And then he gets to Brooklyn, and then Kyrie is an absolute disaster. I mean, that whole team, like, fell apart. Like, it wasn't just James who's like, this sucks. And then goes to Philadelphia, and then they made promises, and they didn't, like, back them up. Which makes sense that they didn't back them up, because they probably made stupid promises
Good
they shouldn't
point.
Have made. Anyway, like, I agree with, like, the general idea you're putting out there that, like, hey, look, Harden has maybe, like, reason to be upset in each of these situations. But it's still three times in a row
sure.
that he's been really upset. And so, like, clearly now it's, like, a pretty narrow case of, like, what has to happen for James Harden to give his best. And when he gets upset, he also clearly has no problem of completely mailing it in. And so, whatever. So people complained about that. And then the other thing they complained about was this dude just, like, pounds the hell out of the ball and is, like, the least beautiful basketball player to ever watch in the history of the league. Those are the complaints about James Harden. No one gives a crap that he left Oklahoma City. Like, you're completely right. They traded him. They didn't have the money. They, who was the power forward they kept that was a journeyman that they decided was more important than James Harden? And he ended up on the Raptors not that long ago. I can't believe I'm blanking on his name. But whatever, their fourth guy they kept instead of Harden, which was just a tragic mistake.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
yeah, athletic shop blocker.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's going to drive me nuts. I know what you're talking about. He was from Africa.
yeah. Anyway, you know, it's just like one of those things. Like, that, it didn't work out for him. Is just the way it goes. But it doesn't matter from a Bulls perspective. Like, he's not going to be on the Bulls. Like, he's just not, right? Like, there's no way he's going to come here. The only deal that I think you could even make is, like, kind of the one we talked about, and it's just like, yeah, like, Philly's not going to do that. They don't have no need for Vooch at all. Like, so it makes no sense whatsoever for them to keep that deal going.
Doug, on that, we've been talking for a long time. It's time to bring the bus in. Very enjoyable conversation, as always, with you. I've learned a lot. Oh, Serge Ibaka. That's who it was. Serge Ibaka.
Serge yeah. Ibaka.
I always
yes.
liked him.
Yes.
His game
Serge Ibaka.
Never developed to that.
A solid player. Like, I mean, like, yeah, it wasn't a star, solid player. You know, like, a guy, if he was your fourth guy, you're probably really
yeah,
happy
man,
with
that.
Yeah,
man, Oklahoma City team, when you think about it, was so loaded. Unbelievable. They even had Steven Adams, who I like.
If they had been able to keep that team yeah. together, like, oh, man. You know, like, if they had just kept been able to pay the tax. And their owner like later paid the tax for Carmelo Anthony, which is hilarious. But if they had just paid the tax for Harden, Westbrook, and Durant, and Ibaka, yeah, that team, yeah, with Steven Adams, that team would have been amazing. It's funny. It's even like each guy would have been kind of like at their natural position too. Maybe a big position that would have had Durant at small forward, Ibaka at power forward, Adams at center, Harden at shooting guard, Westbrook at point guard. Oh, that was a team that could have won titles. This is kind of a crazy. Oklahoma City fans have to be beside themselves with what ifs.
Yeah, well, they got a pretty young, solid, good team now, so we'll see how they end up.
Yeah, yeah, they turn it around. Maybe we'll also turn it around.
1,400 draft picks or so that we don't have. That's their big advantage. And on that note, let's pull in the big red bus as we end the discussion about the Bulls and Thunder and the Sixers. It's always good to talk to you, my friend DT. Until next time, let's go Bulls.
Go Bulls.